Hey, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
In today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about self-serve versus non-self-serve in SaaS.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So here's for those who might not know the definition. So just to make sure that we have no confusion in those, there are SaaS applications out there where the customer can sign up for a trial and then decide to upgrade, put in their payment information and buy the product all on their own, quote unquote, on their own, right? And we can challenge the self-serve model really is. But they do that basically without a salesperson needing to reach out and sell them and get their credit card information or push them to buy the product. So that's one model. And then the other model is where you have an actual sales process or a salesperson reach out, communicate, or have the trial user reach out to the salesperson, ask a bunch of questions. So you have some human interaction that leads to the upgrade and the paid account. So there's those two models of the world. There was a time, I feel like you might know this better as a SaaS historian and an active member in creating SaaS history. There was a time where SaaS was looked at as like golden era of software products that will be bought by people versus sold to people, and where sales teams will, where all we need to do is like build these tools for the masses and allow them to buy it on their own. And that model would be kind of a lot more scalable, a lot more economical than the old model of selling software that was heavily marketing and sales focused. Today, so then there was a time in B2B, it feels to me like, where a lot of B2B SaaS companies realized, well, we do want to go up market, we do want to sell to larger customers, so having salespeople and having heavy investments in marketing and sales is probably necessary and will make a big difference. So all of a sudden, sales became a bigger topic in SaaS. And now I find this discussion to be re-emerging, but with a different flavor and twist. Now, it's not called self-serve versus non-self-serve, but it's, will the future of sales be automated or be a chatbot or be AI or be, the intercom or drift, kind of chat windows that pop up at the right moment to communicate with your customers versus having an evil salesperson call or interact or reach out or send an email. So kind of automation, AI, bots, all these things are being kind of a new flavor on an old topic, which is, can we remove humans from the act of buying and selling software? And when you build your SaaS company, should you try to build it in a model that doesn't include humans that have to do any kind of selling to the buyers, right? This is my summarized history and the way that I frame the debate and the discussion, but I'd love to hear if there's any blind spots there or anything that you would add to that context.
Yeah, I see everybody debating this, a lot, and I'm just going to spin it around for you and just say, like, to me, like, people used to just use this self-service versus, let's call it full service, right, to be nice about it, or free, demo request. And they used to use it to get leads. And it was the best way to get leads because you didn't need people to, and this is for sales leads, you didn't need people to sign up for your product and use it. You just wanted the lead so you could sell them on it. And I still see some people doing this model, but there's a bunch of reasons to do the model and a bunch of reasons not to do the model. And so, for me, I don't know, like I always thought of it, at least in today's world, much more oriented around like who's your target customer and then using that angle. So I would actually ask your thoughts on that approach because, some customers just want to use it and try it and never talk to you while others really want to talk to you and learn more about the product.
Yeah, so I think traditionally we've divided the group. We've tended to say that the larger the customer, especially when we talk about enterprise customers, that these customers are used to be talking to somebody to make the buying decision, and that they will even look for a button that says sales, contact sales, which seems like an evil button for like another group. Let's talk, let's say you know, an engineer looking for a piece of software to buy online, if there's a button on a website that says contact sales, that doesn't seem like an appealing call to action for many engineering people out there. But for like an executive at a large enterprise company, that's actually an appealing call to action. That's actually what they're looking for on a pricing page oftentimes. So traditionally, I think we would just say, hey, the larger the customer, the more normal it is for them to want to talk to a salesperson to buy. It's the way they've learned to buy software and buy products. It's what they're most comfortable with. They don't necessarily want to sign up for a trial and play around with a product and discover everything about it themselves. They don't want to read all your copy on all your pages and go to a FAQ database and search for all the things they're curious about. They actually want to talk to somebody and have that person service them, quote unquote, with the answers and with the material and with everything they need to make a decision. So that was, I think, the traditional divide. And that's still true today. The larger customers will tend to want to buy products usually with more human touch, more human interaction. Obviously, it depends on everything depends on your customer. How do they like to buy software? How do they discover products? What are they used to? How are your competitors successfully selling products? All these things should matter and should play into the decision on how you want to do things. Your price point oftentimes will determine what you can or cannot afford to do, right, in terms of servicing people. And not just on the sales side, but also on the marketing side and also on the support side. Can you offer 24-hour phone support, right? How quick is your turnaround time in terms of your support that you give? If you charge people $1 a decade for your software, you're going to be fairly limited on what you can afford to offer in terms of human touch and human servicing. But so your customer base is a big part of it. I think the size of your customer oftentimes will play a big part of it. But I'll add something to this. And I think that's a component that a lot of times people overlook as they think about the future of people buying things. I do love automation and I do love technology as a productivity enabler and as a way to improve life and to remove friction and things like that. I honestly do.